Hey now, it's Central Division. I'm David Coggins with my good friend Michael Williams. This week we talk about rules, regulations, guidelines, how to follow them, how to break them. Hope you like it.
Central Division, we're recording. I have a sign now outside the door that says on air.
Excellent. Does Chris Black show up and say only once a week, bro?
we record daily. We do 5 hours of podcast, then we switch over to Twitch and we just live stream the rest of the day. Then we do that every day of the year.
No, it's important to have friends who podcast more than you, so then you don't feel as guilty about doing it yourself, you know, which I always think is important.
I read in New York Magazine, Them Jeans.
Yeah.
Jason Stewart.
Grub Street Diet.
Yeah, exactly. Second best one I've ever read after McNary, which was the best one ever, and was ridiculous and totally true. But Jason's was really funny, and he's nuts. He's out of his mind.
He's so great. It's absolutely wonderful. We'll link to it in the show notes. But his martini with a blue cheese olive is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard. That is just absolutely depraved. And I mean, it's one thing, I like a twist of lemon in my martini the way God intended. I understand a little bit the olive, whatever, but
are we talking vodka martini?
Oh, don't even upset me with that. Just a gin martini.
No, not you.
Yeah, I presume so. I mean, whatever.
He's a heathen. I mean, Californian. He doesn't know how to drink a martini.
I do like his approach to, I just certain things you don't want to hear yourself saying in a bar.
I'll have your lightest beer, please. You know,
well, I guess I do excuse myself for that. Give me a pint. I'll make it a half pint.
Maybe a pint's too much. Yeah. Let's start with a half. If I want more, I'll have another half.
I was fishing with someone last week and he brought a can of Amstel Light and it felt like, I think they stopped making that. And I felt like I was on a KLM flight. I mean, in the 80s, I couldn't recognize the taste, or I don't think I've ever seen that can, at least the one we had.
Oh, you've only seen the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
You've only seen it in Robbie Williams videos.
Or they used to have a white one. This one was different. I do like those small cans of Heineken that they have that are narrow that they only have in Europe, it seems like.
Where were you fishing?
In Jamaica Bay, actually, right by JFK Airport for the striped bass that are moving through. And it's pretty wild because you're by, I think it's runway 4, where these huge, huge Airbus A380s taking off, like Royal Air Morocco or Korean Air, huge planes. And normally they would take off at exact, I don't know what it is, 90-second intervals when they're at capacity. The biggest planes there are in the world, the long haul flight.
Those A380s are the best. They're such great planes. I mean, being upstairs on the A380, Singapore Airlines take the dead leg to Frankfurt, New York to Frankfurt, Singapore Airlines.
You just blew my mind with the dead leg.
That's the connector.
Yeah, it's so good.
The cheap way to get to Frankfurt on Singer.
Now, see, this is what we're missing because no one gets to travel anymore. The cheap leg to Frankfurt. That was your life for a while.
Yeah. But then I've done that whole thing where, and we, you know, we're going to talk about rules. But I actually think this is more of like a preferences episode than a rules.
I like,
you know,
it.
I find a lot of this stuff's more of a preference. I find myself unwilling to do a intra-Europe connection. So like I'll only fly to these major hubs and then I'll just take the train from Frankfurt to Rome, which is the dumbest thing. That takes like 20 hours. But that, you know, the time between, sorry, I don't mean to be excitable,
like,
but the time between when you land in Europe and when that connection is, which is undoubtedly later in the day, that hellscape of time between, when you get there and connecting is, I just can't deal with it. Even Frankfurt's got the showers in the lounge, which is great, and beer and pretzels, but I need to go to sleep, you know?
There's something very unusual, and all of this seems more exotic now because it's been so long since we've traveled for the most part. But when you, let's just say you arrive wherever it is, Amsterdam or Paris or Heathrow, and you go into a lounge, if you're waiting for your connection, you go into a lounge 7 in the morning, right when it opens, and you see a European businessman, which are just like fundamentally different than American businessmen. They're thin. They have like glasses with no rims on them. And it just, they seem so, and they're very, you know, dark blue suit, usually pretty nice, nice shoes, nice kind of carefully chosen bag, very self-contained. And I always, because you're jet lagged and a little warped, it seems incredibly exotic to me, even though these are like some of the most straight-laced people seemingly in the world. But at that time, like, whoa, I am not in America anymore.
That you know, the lounge, the whole like European lounge program is its own universe. You know, to think about, there's a couple of things that give me so much anxiety. We could talk about preferences. We'll get into it. The cab ride to the airport to JFK is just gives me so much anxiety. Of course. Any connection through Charles de Gaulle gives me huge anxiety. It's always your luggage can never just get passed through. It always has to come out.
Yeah, you got
to
pick it up. You
always have to get rescreened. The process of getting to your luggage, getting to the next terminal, getting through, you know, getting through security is just, and it's just the worst thing. That's the worst airport in the world. I'm sorry. I hate that airport. That's the worst part about being Delta, JFK and Charles de Gaulle.
Well, Charles de Gaulle, if you're leaving from it, from Paris on an Air France flight, delightful. If you're doing that, but you taught me about a variety of these kind of rules. I just want to say going to JFK is one of the most intense things you can do. And if there's a flight anywhere, and usually European flights are between six, usually leave at night. So 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so that means you either have to try to get there during rush hour and cut it close, or just do what I do, which is beat rush hour and sit in JFK for 3.5 hours like a fool. Trying not to get mad at these other idiots in the lounge, at least back then, who are, you know, putting their bare feet on the furniture and
talking on their phone, on speakerphone. Yeah.
Or there's a particular thing, now we're going to U.S. businessmen, as opposed to the self-contained European businessmen, the American businessmen often, usually seen in lounges, on a call, okay, that's already bad, but then pacing up and down the lounge as if he's in his office is so brutal, and just as if there aren't 85 people around him and everyone resenting him except for the other businessman who's doing the same thing, making a business talk force field or something between the two of them.
The lounge behavior is the lowest form of life. Everyone's malnourished. They're underslept. You know, they're wrinkle free. It's bad news. I hate the lounge.
The lounge, though, in a weird way, I would do anything to be in a lounge for.
I take the subway to JFK though now.
I
always take the subway
because
I can't deal with the cab. I give it 2 hours.
I took a different route. Actually, speaking of fishing in Jamaica Bay, there's a different way you can go where you stay by the water the entire time, and it just takes
that's Belle Park, Parkway, which we talked about last episode.
Oh, right.
Which is how you know you're being ripped off by a cab driver. Well,
so I will tell, if I have a set fee though with the person with the car service, I would rather go that way with less traffic, even though it takes longer because it's more circuitous. And it's just, I don't know. It's very intense, those things.
The worst is like when you don't even go like, I don't know what it is, like Grand Central to the Van Wyck or whatever. When you don't go on the freeway, you go like through Atlantic Avenue the whole way there. And it's like, that's like when you know it's this worst one.
The traffic
is a lot longer, like you said.
Right.
It's like 10 miles longer.
But I do think it's like self-knowledge to me. If you want to explain a person's personality, show me how they pack and get to the airport. When we were going, actually, Michael, to your wedding, and Allie and I were taking the same flight from LA to your destination wedding. And we were leaving from
Newark, New Jersey.
No, in LA. Oh yeah, the destination, right? Exactly. It was you got a good deal, and
public storage off of Route 22. It was really nice.
So our mutual friend said, "Oh, Coggins, you can't handle." I said we could go to the airport together, and she said, "No, you can't handle the way I get to the airport." And she prided herself on being the last person on the plane. With just mentioning that made me so nervous. So we went separately. I got there to LAX a zillion hours in advance, bored, relaxed, get on the plane. We're sitting next to each other, get on the plane. And I am just absolutely out of my mind with anxiety because she hasn't showed up yet. And just walks right on as the door closes, sits down next to me and, you know, in the middle of five emails and working. And I thought, I can't live like this. This is chaos. I mean, of course, she's 18 times more productive than me and would never cut her day out to do that. But I just, the idea of getting to the airport without plenty of time, just, I can't even imagine. I guess that's because I'm neurotic, but there's a variety of other things.
Tristram? I'm on the same page, though. I'd like to get to the airport early.
If I see someone running, it makes me nervous. Running, I mean, nothing is more pathetic, I'm sorry, than running with heavy bags through an airport. It's just like your life has fallen.
Sometimes you have to, though.
Of course, of course. But I try to do everything in my power not to.
I mean, you're the one carrying your bags, you know.
Well, something happened somewhere along the way where before the ethic was never check your bag, but then, and you and I have talked about travel strategies for many years, and you often taught me many things about especially when you were traveling even more about this is a good way to, you know, stick within the Delta to Delta. Don't go from Delta to one of their partner airlines, which I totally agree and believe in now, thanks to you and other, all sorts of things. But at a certain point, I don't know if it was about 5 years ago, where just airlines were better with checked bags. You could check on the app to make sure that it was on the plane. And then once that happened, I checked the bag.
Delta is great about checking bags, I think.
It seemed like it got better. I don't know what. They put that sticker on it. There's a freaking
Now when you can see, now that in the app, you could see if it's on the plane.
Right.
Which I love. For me, that's like, sometimes I'll see, oh, bag didn't make it. And then I'll reach out to them on the plane and be like, hey, can I just have this delivered? Or I really need it or whatever. I think they're really good. I feel very comfortable checking my bag with Delta. And when you can check all your stuff and just have one tiny bag,
yep,
and you don't care when you get on the plane,
no, that
is the most liberating thing on earth.
You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.